Well, if you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians, you find, get through Corinthians and keep going on past Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians, and then you should run right into Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Again, just want to give God the glory here, give God the praise for just a day that we can not only meet together and worship. That's a wonderful blessing in itself. The first day of the week, we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, triumphant resurrection. But then on special days like this, we do get to designate a day to honor dads. And honor fathers. And the Bible does tell us to honor our fathers and our mothers. And so we try to make it a point to do that. And I'm thankful we live in a country that does make it a point to honor dads and to designate a day just to be a blessing to them and help them in encouragement. And so many of you are here today as to honor your dad. You perhaps attend a different church. I want to thank you for coming in today to worship with us to honor your dad. And I know he'll appreciate that very, very much. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes dads, they try to get away with things that they usually don't get away with. And one particular story here, some of the worst Mother's Day gifts ever given. Heard about this. It was stated in the Houston Chronicle, reported a story about Jerry Maltz giving his wife an iron. Well, he got the message, okay? He got the message when she gave him an ironing board for Father's Day, okay? He got the message. He sure did. I also heard that Father's Day is that one time of the year, as a father testified of this, he said, Father's Day is that one time of the year when I get complete obedience from every member of my family. He says, I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. Well, I'm sure, you know, we can think about many ways that we do celebrate these days. But today, I want to encourage you from the Word of God on what it means to be a biblical dad. What it means to be a father that the Lord expects. And I hope that it will be an encouragement to you. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. And we will read through verse number 12. The Bible says, For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And verse 11 and 12 will be our text. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this message to you. We pray that you would use it in such a way that would bring honor and glory unto your holy name. Lord, we do call out to you on the behalf of dads represented here as well. Lord God, we cry out to you in utter dependence. Father, we need you to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us. And Lord, I know that this message that you've laid upon my heart is directed mainly to fathers, but I pray, God, that it would spill over into every heart present. And Lord Jesus, that we would leave here strengthened in the faith. And we do praise you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we see here Father's Day that Paul is not specifically talking to fathers. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica. he's talking to a group of believers that he won to the Lord and that he has is concerned about, and he's writing to encourage them. But one of the things he states very clearly is here, he says, "Church, I have treated you in much of my characteristics as a father." In fact, it's interesting, the analogy Paul uses to his pastoring is to parenting. You'll notice back there in verse number 7 that he gives the liking, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. As even a mother would love her children and would be tender and affectionate, Paul was that way. This was a church that loved Paul, and that Paul loved them. And he brings out these characteristics of the importance of knowing what it means to be a godly father. I believe Paul demonstrated those characteristics because he even said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "I have done these things even as a father does with his children." I don't know if you've ever heard of the term point man. I read a book on leadership and specifically dealing with dads called Point Man by Steve Farrer. And it's a great book. I highly recommend it. But the title of the book is called Point Man. And he gives the illustration of even his time in Vietnam as a point man. And that point man was one who was selected and chosen to go out in front of the rest of the platoon. It might just be 7 or 8 guys. But they would form this specific formation going through those jungles and wherever they would be. And there was a man each day. Usually it changed from day to day. But a man was chosen to be the front guy, to be the point man. He would be the one that would be looking for danger, looking for signs of suspicion, just looking for whatever that could cause harm to that platoon. And I want to tell you, as you well know and have figured out by now, this was one who was greatly trusted. All the rest of the platoon were basically saying, "Look, brother, we're entrusting you to be out front today." This is the man that usually would probably take the first shot if there were a surprise attack. This was that man that usually were to take that, and one who had a great responsibility upon his shoulders. And Steve goes on to write in his book about point man and brings out the illustration that that is exactly what the father is to the home. He's a point man. He's a man that goes out in front in leadership. He looks for danger. He instructs, he gives help and encouragement in any way. He's that one that is trusted with the leadership of the home. He's a point man. And dads, you have been chosen to be that point man, whether you like it or not. God has chosen you. And I want to tell you, dads, it's an awesome privilege. It's a great responsibility, but it is something to be enjoyed. Yes, it is a very serious position. It is a very serious responsibility. But oh, how God has given it to us to be to our homes. Paul here is drawing that analogy and he's telling, "Look, I have done these things to you as a father." Well, what happens as a father? How did he treat these Thessalonians? How did he treat them as a father? Well, I'd like to submit to you 4 ways in the way Paul acted. And the way Paul acted as a father towards these Thessalonians. Look with me, first of all, I want to see that he acted as a father by giving direction. Look there. He acted first as a father by giving direction. It says there in verse number 11, "As you know how we exhorted." I want to look at that word "exhorted" first, and then we'll get to "comforted" and "charged." But this word "exhorted" carries the idea of exhort to a particular line of conduct. In other words, dad is saying, hey, he's saying, as a dad would instruct his children with specific guidelines, with specific truth, with advice, across the board. It's a dad who's giving counsel. It's a dad who perhaps even has to give a correction. We'll see that here in a minute. But he's one that gives that direction. That point man that was out in front of that platoon, as he's going through, again, his direction is being trusted by those other men. He may have to take a hard left. He may need to take a hard right.
He may need to hit the deck, hit the ground quickly. Well, whatever he does, these others are following in suit. Dad, I want to tell you, that's exactly what's happening in your home. The spiritual direction that you are taking your family, they are going to follow you. And if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, good possibilities, great possibilities that they too will follow in step. Now, we do know there's a choice of the will. And children are not robots. God's given them a free will, just like every human being. And they do make their final choices, no doubt about it. But if you want to increase the chances of your children going in the right direction, you need to provide that leadership, that direction and instruction. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "And ye fathers," the Lord deals with them, "dads, listen up," he says, "provoke not your children to wrath." We've been there and done that, haven't we, dads? We really have. That's done in several ways that I'm not going into this morning. But he says, don't provoke them to wrath. Don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up. Rear them. As we say in the South, raise. I told one Yankee lady one time, I was raised in the South. She said, "You are not raised, you were reared. We raise chickens, we don't rear chickens," all right? Well, that's all right. I was raised in the South, amen? We see here that he says, rear them up and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What is that what is that meaning? It means give them the spiritual encouragement that they need. The spiritual direction. He says here, the dads give direction. Paul gave these believers direction. There's no doubt about it. This letter is proof of it. You know, satellites are often used. Do this sometime. Google sometime how many satellites are in orbit right now. It would absolutely blow your mind on how many satellites are out there going crazy from different countries, the U.S., other countries. But satellites are used, and a lot of people don't realize, in warfare. They are used to show where the enemy is located. You see on news shots, man, or whatever you watch, Fox News, CNN, a lot of times, and when dealing with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and others, they will show these satellite shots from orbit. These satellites from orbit are taking from great distances, and they're showing where they have compounds. They show them where they have armor, or where they're building a new facility or something. And they are to give that image of danger. That's what satellites do, and they are used for. They provide information critical for being victorious in war. Do you want what I believe that we can illustrate and learn from those satellites? You know what, dads? You're acting somewhat like a satellite for your home. You are that one that is viewing the possible dangers that could be coming towards your children, towards your wife, or towards your family in general. There's things that you see that they may not see, and God's got you as the point man to be able to visualize and to give report. It might be a stop. It might become this direction. It might become that direction. But God has given you that special ability to act as a protector and provider, one who can give direction. And we know that the first direction that a father gives to a child, and his number one goal, is for his father to give that child direction to Jesus Christ. Dads, that should be your number one goal in life. If you have small children or even older children that have yet to come to faith in Christ, that should be your number one goal, is that you could be able to lead your child to the cross of Calvary. And that they might, in childlike faith, and humble themselves before their Maker and Savior, trust in Him for eternal life. That's the ultimate goal. And that's something that we should all desire as dads, to be able to lead our kids to Calvary, to trust the living God, the living Savior. And then once they make that decision, the next goal is this, is to see that they walk with the Savior. It is to encourage them in their walk with Him and their love for Him. And it's always seeking to give them direction towards Jesus. And that's one thing I want to encourage you, men, that don't get so overwhelmed with all these things. Just strive to always get your children to Jesus. He's the answer. He is the answer. I believe if a child humbly, truly, sincerely follows Christ, they will never end up in the wrong place. Do you believe that? I believe if a person truly submits themselves and their love for Christ and wanting to follow Him, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. No way, Jose. I am talking about a simple submission to Christ after salvation. You will never end up out of the will of God. You'll end up in, of course, tough things in life. There's toughness in the will of God. Nobody denies that. But the will of God, direction. How thankful I am for dads that give direction to their children. And you know, I understand sometimes that children will not appreciate that direction. But dad, hey, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. God has not told you to give direction according to whether that child is pleased or not with your direction. God's going to hold you accountable for giving direction, not whether they approved of your direction. That's another message. But we'll go on to giving direction here. And that is what we do as fathers. And then Paul goes on to this next word. Look with me in verse 11. He says here, not only does he give direction through exhortation, which is the true meaning of that word. It means to encourage in the right way. But then he goes on to say this, and comforted. Now, this word comforted means to encourage, yes, but it carries more of the idea to continue in the right direction. Not only is the dad supposed to give direction, but as that child, as that son or daughter is going in that direction, it's to come alongside and encourage them. A lot of dads are guilty of saying, that's the way you ought to go, and they stop right there. They don't come alongside that young believer. Or that child who's still learning so much and very immature in ways. Instead of just saying, hey, I told you to go that way. Why aren't you doing it? We can be guilty of that, dads. What God wants us to do, as Paul said he did with these new believers in Thessalonica. You know what Paul did? He said, this is the direction you ought to be going. Now let me come alongside and tell you how to do it continuously. And encourage you with your walk in Christ. There's an idea of being comforting to that child. The second point is to give motivation, to encourage, to continue in the course in the face of adversity. Our children, dads, face real challenges. I've made the mistake of thinking that I don't know where I lost it, but at some point I did. But since having children, I've had to remind myself that even a child as young as that I have, Marianne, who's six, realized that those children go through difficult times. Emotionally, it might be something they faced at school. It might be something they heard, saw, something they did, and something they're experiencing in their little minds and their little bodies, whether it be intimidation or self-esteem or something. And they struggle. And it's God's man, the point man, who needs to come alongside and comfort in those struggles and comfort in those fears. I trust that the Lord will help us to take time to do that. And by the way, men, dads, we must take deliberate time. If you go with the philosophy, and I have found as a pastor, and you can say this in the secular workforce either, if you use the philosophy that I'm going to spend some time when I find time, can I tell you politely, you never will find it. You won't find time. You have to make time. Schedule deliberate time with your child if you want to be a motivation to them. You can give direction all day long, but unless you come alongside them and give them the motivation they need, I'm afraid they're on a pathway to failure. Taking deliberate time. This illustration bears worth repeating. Charles Francis Adams, son of President John Quincy Adams, and grandson of President John Adams, kept a diary. And one day, he entered in his diary this: went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. get this. It's phenomenal. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. On that same day that his daddy wrote A Day Wasted, wrote this: went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. Wow. You see, the father thought he was wasting time while fishing with his son, but his son saw it as an investment of time. And dads, we have got to come to the place in our lives where we make time for our children and to spend deliberate time with them. Not just a pat on the back here and there, but we schedule time to do things with them where we take them places where it's just us and them and they're getting all of our attention. May God help us to be the point men who motivate. Not only give direction, but we motivate. Deliberate time. I think of words of affirmation. My dad, by nature, was a man who had a critical spirit. And he's overcome that now in heaven. Hallelujah. But Dad was critical. He could give a critical eye, and to his credit, he usually would come back and say some things nice every once in a while. But he was a critical man. And I remember constantly felt like Dad could only be critical. But thankfully he did learn, even after he came to Christ, he did begin learning the importance of words of affirmation. And my dad did give that. Don't let me discredit him in that way. But I learned something. I inherited that from him. And I find it much easier. I don't know if you find this, but I find it much easier to be critical of someone than commendable to them. And we need to learn, dads, that we need to commend our young people. Yeah, maybe they may be wrong in 99 ways, but hey, that one way, give them some credit. All the young people said, amen. I made my bed one time this year, Dad. Well, say good job. The Word of God says, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Dads, moms, anybody here in leadership, and it goes for everybody. Learn to speak words of affirmation. If you want to motivate someone, yes, there are times you have to be critical and say, well, look, this is not the way you do that. You shouldn't have done it this way. Yes, there are times to do that. You have to. Any leader knows that. But can you get in a habit of also balancing that with, hey, good job in this. Hey, I saw you gave attention to this. Hey, I saw you tried. Hey, I appreciate your attitude. Hey, whatever it may be, when you find them doing something positive and productive, compliment it. It will go a long ways. Give motivation. That's what Paul says. Paul says, you know, church, I have it comforted you just as a father does his children. How else can you motivate your kids? Well, I think one major way also of motivating them is forgiving them. Now, you deal with new believers, people that have freshly come to Christ. I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of my, when I first came to Christ, man, I had so many rough edges and still got many that God's working on. But at that time, I was really a babe in Christ. Didn't know anything about the Bible. Had a lot of things in my life that should not have been there. But I had an assistant pastor who kind of took me along and just encouraged me. There were some things that I had done, and he showed forgiveness towards me, and he showed that God was forgiving me. And boy, how that motivated me to want to love the Lord more. And let me tell you something, mom and dad especially, learn to forgive your children for their offenses. They will love you more for it. And if you want to give them a true picture of the love of the Father, the Heavenly Father, forgive as He does. Not hold grudges. That, my friend, will draw a child to you, your heart, but more importantly, it will draw them to the Savior. Because they understand what forgiveness means. You want to get a disgruntled, bitter child in your family? Hey, you start being bitter. You start not forgiving them for offenses that they've committed. It will cause you great trouble. They need to experience forgiveness. The Lord Jesus in the model prayer said, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And dads, that includes your children. That's a way to encourage them, to motivate them. Not only give direction, but motivation. I want to give one more and I'm going to move along here. I've got to hurry. Dads, we need to have an element of strictness. There's no doubt about it. We need to hold the line. But along with that, there also needs to be sympathy. God just working me over during the study of this message and things I had not really dwelled on in my mind, meditated on. But dads, when a child commits an offense, I think one of the greatest things that you can do in the correction time or even in the instruction time is to be sympathetic. And how, what do you mean? I mean that you need to say something like this as it's appropriate. Son, daughter, daddy knows what you're going through. I remember being prideful that way. I remember just the other day when I got angry. I remember when I misspoke to your mother. I remember when I had a bad attitude the other day because something didn't go my way. I know what it feels like to struggle with what you're going through. You talking about making a difference in the heart of your child is when you, yes, hold a line where you are called to hold, but along with that, you show sympathy, a tenderness that motivates them to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God expects us. And I think that's what Paul did with this church. And they loved and respected him for it. So we see here, number one, that Paul gave direction as a father. He gave motivation as a father. And then thirdly, I want us to see from the passage, he gave attestation as a father. Look with that word there in our text. It says that, and you know how we exhorted, we covered that, and comforted, we covered that, and then this word here, charged. That word charged is translated witness in a ton of other verses in the Word of God. It has the same root meaning. It means to be a witness. It means to be one who declares that you have experienced or seen or felt or heard something. A witness. And Paul is saying, I have witnessed unto you. I have charged every one of you. Listen, I have shown you the great things that God can and will do. Dad, you want to talk about helping your child succeed in the will of God? We should make it a habit to continuously share testimonies of the goodness of God in our lives. When's the last time we took our child and said, look, I need to share an answer to prayer with you? Maybe it was during family devotions. Maybe it was a ride to the store or a ride to school. Maybe who knows when it was. But dads, we need to get in the habit of talking about the goodness of God in our lives. Grandfathers, make it a habit of coming alongside your children and sharing the way God has saved your soul. The way God moved in your life. The way God helped you in a time of trouble, a time of distress. And you just brag on God. Make it a point of bragging on the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's what this word means. It means, Paul says, look, I before you displayed what God can do in your life and my life. The ways He brought me to you providentially. Oh, the will of God brought me to you. And parents, dads, make it a habit to share with your children the great things that God has done in your life. It makes a difference. Hold with me there. I believe it's worth taking the time to look at. Go over to the book of Exodus. The second book of the Bible there, Genesis, Exodus. And go with me over to Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. This is an attestation. This is a witness that Paul is talking about here when he charged the Thessalonians. This is the same type of witness. Look what God tells Moses. Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Please understand this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Now get verse 2. Please get this. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them. Why? That ye may know how that I am the Lord. Dads, speak of the greatness and goodness of God often. The wonders of God, and that's what Moses was commanded to do, and I believe that's what we are commanded to do, to often to speak of Him and His greatness that they may know. Sometimes I think we talk about way too many other things than the Lord God. Now, do I mean that God has to be in every sentence of every conversation? Not necessarily. I understand that element. But folks, I don't believe a day ought to go by where somebody in that family, and it should be Dad for sure, doesn't testify of the goodness of Almighty God. Can I get a few more amens right there? He's worthy. And that brings me to our next point. Not only what it is to give attestation and give motivation and direction, but we see here, which I think, I wouldn't necessarily title it as the most important point, but if you don't get this point, then I'm afraid you won't get the truth of this passage and the power of it. But number 4, I believe Paul gave this church explanation as a father would give explanation to his children. Look there with me, back in the passage there in 1 Thessalonians. Look back there with me at chapter 2 and look there with me in verse number 12. That, so he exhorted, he comforted, and he charged every one of them as a father. Why? What was his reasoning? Verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That, my friend, is giving explanation. Dads, God's helping me learn this. I hope He will help you learn this and that we'll always grow in this. But listen, we need to get in the habit of explaining to our children why we do what we do. I know my dad was from a generation, son, you do as I say, not as I do. And you do it what I ask you not. I understand that element. But I believe there are even times where there were God-fearing men and dads, even from that generation, that would say, yes, you're going to do this, but let me at least tell you why you're going to do it. And that's the spirit that we ought to have, not to explain it to see if they approve or not, but it's to explain them the truth you're teaching and why they do what they do. That will help them in the long run to have the right motivation. The right motivation. You know, we need to be fathers that explain things to our kids. And it takes time, I know. It really does. But truly, this is the reason Paul is saying, the reason I've acted like a father to you and a mother to you in these areas that he's saying in this church is because I want you to walk worthy of God. That is the reason. It is because He is worthy. You know, it is necessary, dads, that we explain to our children the reason for our expectations. Not for approval, but just clarity. You could say, look, this is why I'm doing what we're doing in our home. This is why I'm giving you the direction and the motivation. This is why I'm testifying, because this is what it says in the book. And this is what I believe God's going to hold me accountable on. And let me explain it to you. Let me explain this verse. Let me explain this truth to you, child. And try to not be sarcastic, not to be angry or bitter, but just to be loving and tender. And encouraging and say, come here, sweetie, let me just show you this. This is how I've experienced this truth. This is the way God's dealt with me. And you have an element of sincerity there. Not that you just do what I say. That builds bitterness. That builds resentment. A father and a son went fishing one day. I like fishing illustrations because I like fishing, okay? After a couple hours out in the boat, the boy suddenly became curious about the world around him. He asked his father, "How does this boat float?" And the father thought for a moment, then replied, "Don't rightly know, son." The boy returned to his contemplation, then turned back to his father, "How do fish breathe underwater?" Well, upon that, once again, the father replied, "Don't rightly know, son." A little later, the boy asked his father, "Why is the sky blue?" Again, the father replied, "Don't rightly know, son." So the boy sat there for a little bit, worried he was going to annoy his father. He says, Dad, do you mind me asking you these questions? All these questions?" And the dad looked back and said, "Son, of course not. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." That man, that dad, listened to his son, but he didn't take time to explain things. At least make an attempt to explain why the sky is blue. Maybe it's a reflection of the ocean. I don't know. Try to explain something. And you know, sometimes, dads, I think we'll hold to a truth dogmatically and strongly, but we don't take the time to be gentle and tender to explain that truth. And you know what we do? We fail. We fail. Because God tells us that we need to explain why. Paul did, as a father would. He explained to these dear young believers why I'm telling you to do what you do. And why was that? I want to tell you why it was. It was because God Almighty is indeed worthy. That, look at the statement with me, church. That ye would walk. That's the idea of conduct, behavior. Look at that statement. Three-word statement. Please look at that strongly with me. Worthy of God. Now, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It does not mean this. It does not mean that we have to live up to a category where we're actually worthy to God. That's a wrong interpretation of that. What does this mean? It means this, friend. It means that you are walking in a way that represents how great God is. You see, when I'm before God as a child of God, I'm just as worthy as I ever will be because of His Son, Jesus Christ. I've had the blood applied to me that day of salvation back in 2002, February, when I put my faith in Christ. Then the blood was applied to me, and I'm just as worthy to God as I ever have been or ever will be because I have His Son. My worthiness is not what it's talking about. What it's talking about here is that, children, that you might live a life that represents the gospel that you have believed and embraced. So that when people see the decision you've made in believing in the gospel, it represents a life that truly shows forth the love of Christ, the power of God, the holiness of God. Oh, it's an amazing thing to be able to encourage. Here's the temptation. Here's the temptation, dads. The temptation is to force obedience by punishment. I'm not sure if I'm alone in this one, but sometimes in my frustration with disobedience and pride and arrogance and attitude, my temptation is to show them who's in charge. That's a temptation to a leader and to a father or even a mother. Is to have that. But that is not what God wants us to have. Yes, there is a time for punishment. There is a time for correction measures. There is a time for that. But let me say this. The goal, Dad, is not for our children to obey because of fear of punishment, but to obey because God Almighty is worthy of our full and complete obedience. Please, let us grasp that together. Punishment is not the goal to bring obedience. That is not the goal. We have failed miserably if that's the goal, dads. It is to teach our children that we do what we do because Jesus Christ is worthy. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Oh, blessed be His holy name, the one who took the thorn crown upon His scalp and took the lashings across His back. The one who was spit upon and pummeled with fists and cursed and mocked and nailed to the old rugged tree. The one who remained silent. The one who could have taken them all out. He stayed there on the cross. And oh, my friends, He didn't stay there for long. They put Him in an old tomb. And on the old third day, our Savior Jesus came alive and arose from the dead and lives victoriously for all eternity. My friends, the reason we do what we do is because He is worthy. Jesus Christ, young people, dads, moms, when you instruct your children, you always bring it back to Christ. Bring it back to Calvary. Oh, my friends, we do what we do because we want to live a life that represents the glory of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God. That is why we do what we do. The definition of worthy is to act in a way that fits the great value and glorious nature of God and the gospel that you have embraced. That your life will be a true representation of the God who saved you and lives in you. It is a steadfast faith that God, get this, now get this please, God is deserving of our complete obedience. And it's not about just following rules. It's about living a life that He is worthy of. He's worthy of everything I can give. Every part of me. Every part. He is worthy. Charles H. Spurgeon, who to his admission was no perfect father, was not a perfect dad. He had his struggles, but he wrote this, and I thought it was important to bring with this point. Listen to this with me, please. Dads especially, please. I beg you, listen. Spurgeon says this: if your children are kept from wrongdoing only by the fear of you, if they only do that which they are bidden to do because they are afraid to do otherwise, you will have a very poor form of obedience. And you will have at the same time an abundant crop of deceit springing up. For when your child has done wrong, his fear of punishment will drive him to a falsehood and perhaps lead him from one falsehood to another. And falsehoods may become so common with him that at last it shall be as natural to him to tell a lie as to speak the truth. And I think every parent must know that all the faults a child can commit, if put into the scale together, are not equal in criminality and in injury to his spiritual constitution to a lie. The power to tell a lie is one of the most hideous powers to which a man can attain. And some children are kept in such a state of terror that they naturally learn to do it. Do you see what Spurgeon was driving home there? The wrong motivation was given to the child. The motivation is the glory of God. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. That, dads, is where the goal is in rearing children for the glory of Almighty God. Let's pray.